These two witnesses came along. They give testimony in front of the judges and in front of the people that Navois went ahead and he it says Berach Elokim, which is Lashon Saginar, he cursed Elokim v'melech. He cursed God and he cursed the king. So they took him out to the city and they stoned him. Now, there's two different things that he allegedly committed. First of all, he cursed the king, and he cursed God. He cursed Hashem, so to speak. So what is the punishment for cursing the king?
Lose your head over it.
Yeah, but which Mises Basin do you get?
You get stoned.
Nope. You get chenek. You get choked, so to speak.
A little drink of hot stuff.
No, that's sreifa.
Huh?
That's sreifa, what you're talking about.
That chenek when they put hot...
No, that's sreifa. That's burning.
Hot lead.
Yeah. Hot lead. But yeah, there's four...
What is chenek then? What is
chenek means they hang him.
Oh, they hang him?
Yeah.
Oh.
He gets hanged.
To me, chenek sounded like this.
No, so you're referring to a different Mises Basin called sreifa. Sreifa means burning. Doesn't mean they burn you literally, throw you in a fire. Rather, they pour boiling hot lead down the person's throat.
Yeah,
they burn him from the inside.
He was drunk anyway.
Not a very pleasant way to go.
To me, that sounds chenek.
No, see, you're right. It's kind of similar because the way they force him to open up his throat, like, you know, they're not going to go into him and say, can you please open up your mouth now? We're going to pour boiling hot lead down your throat.
You
know, he's going to be like, yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead. Huh, here you go.
Yeah.
Right? He's not exactly going to comply that easily.
They'd have to hold him.
Right? So what they do is, so back then they didn't really have the contraptions they have today. So they would, it says they would put a, some kind of, metal wire that was covered in something soft, and they would force it around his throat, and when you tighten it enough, it forces him to open up his mouth. And that's how they get him to open up his mouth, and then they pour the lead down his throat, and they burn him.
Yeah.
But did they get him shikah before?
Yes, they do give him some kind of substance that...
something will make him...
so he doesn't have to suffer as much.
The suffer, but he gets killed.
Yeah, it does get killed.
So he was supposed to get hanged, not stoned.
Right. So, okay. So that's the thing. When you committed two different averas, two different sins, one of them you'd get chenek, hanged, and the other one you get stoned, which is skila.
Skila. Okay.
So the halacha is, you always get the mises beisdin, you always get the death that is more serious, more severe. That's what you get. That's why, in this case, since he cursed the king, then he would only get chenek. But because he cursed Hashem too, allegedly, that's why the punishment is skila, stoning, and therefore, he always gets the more serious one. That's why he got stoning.
What's the difference your boat did?
Sorry?
Your boat did.
About dead?
No, you end up dead either way.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. We're going to see later on the Navi refers to that also. So anyway, so they stone him and he dies. The Pasuk Yudal continues, Vayishlechu El Yizevel Lemor Sukal Navois Vayomos. So they send a message to Yizevel and say, don't worry, Your decree was fulfilled. It was taken care of. Navas is now dead. V'yikishma Yizevel kisukal Navas v'yomas. When she heard, Yizevel heard that Navas was killed. V'toymer Yizevel lo'achav kum reish es kerem Navas Israeli. Get up and inherit the vineyard of Navas. Asher mein losas l'cho b'kesef ki ein Navas chai ki meis. And she's now mentioning what he had done wrong. He refused to give you his vineyard for money. And now, he's not alive, rather, he's dead. So, a few things about this pasuk. First of all, I just wanted to mention before, in the previous pasuk, that when it calls these witnesses B'nai Belial, evil people, so the Malbim points out that they weren't just evil because they lied at this instance, and otherwise they were good people. Rather, they're really bad people in essence. Right? They were bad people in essence, and in general, not besides for what they had done by testifying so falsely.
It caught up with them.
Yeah.
They got away with it up until, and that's it.
Right. Right. In any case, So, well, what does Izevel tell Ahav? She tells him, get up and inherit the land of Navais, the vineyard of Navais. So what does that mean? What inherit means that it belongs to you. When a person dies, you bequeath it. You're next in line.
Well, it's a family.
It's to the family. He said he was his brother or something.
Anybody can say belongs to me.
Right, but he was just a random guy. Okay, he happened to be the king. But inherit means, when you inherit something, it means that you're supposed to inherit the person who died. Why was Ahav supposed to get the vineyard of Navas just because he died? Why didn't his children get it?
That's what I'm saying.
What?
Why was he in line?
Yeah, why was he in line? Exactly.
He said it was his brother.
Okay, so that's one opinion. One opinion is Rav Yudah. So hold on, so we'll get to that. So, one opinion is that anyone who's killed for sinning against the king...
whose property goes over to the king.
Right, exactly. Their possessions go over to the king. That's why it was very important that part of the testimony would be that Noah not only did he curse God, but he also cursed the king. That was a very crucial part of the testimony, because if that was not part of the testimony... Nobody would not be able to take possession of the vineyard. That's first of all. So if that's the case, then the question arises, so why do you need the other part of the testimony? Why do they need to testify that he cursed the king, right? That he cursed Hashem, right? Who cares,
you didn't
right?
Need that.
All you need is for him to be killed, and for his vineyard to go to the king. So just say, the testimony should be that he cursed the king. Finish, he'll be killed, and then his vineyard would go to the king. So the Radak explains that they only added that to make it look, really serious, right? Just to add on to the story. That's one opinion. Rav Yudah holds, however, that even someone who sins against the king, his possessions do not go to the king. Rather, they go to the children. However, in this case, they did not go to the children because part of the testimony was that his whole family, so to speak, sinned against the king. And therefore, not only was Nabas killed, but even his sons were killed as well. His sons were killed as well. And it happened to be Ahav was the nephew of Nabas. So he was next in line. There were no sons alive. They were killed as well. So, because Ahav, the king, was next in line, that's why he inherited the vineyard of Navais. So, it's two different opinions.
How come all these good people get such bad endings?
That's a good question. It's not really the topic of our class tonight, but maybe we can talk about that a little bit next time. I don't want to get too much
throughout history. All the good people ended up, they didn't die in bed.
Not all of them. Some of them did.
There's a lot of them.
Well, you're referring to the famous question, why do bad things happen to good people?
They ought to make a book like that.
There is a book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People by Rabbi Kushner.
Yeah.
But that's not exactly orthodox.
He's a local fellow. He was a local fellow.
That's the whole topic in and of itself.
All right, I'm not going to.
Well, they have that here. Government takes over eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
The government takes over something that I mean, they need it to make a highway or anything else. They can force you to. But I think they have to pay for it.
Yeah, they do have to pay for it. They have to give them some kind of compensation. What's happening over here is very unprecedented. Because what's happening over here is that the king, so to speak, or the queen in this case, is making up a whole story just to get rid of one individual who does not want to give his vineyard to the king. And everyone was in on it. The people knew it, the judges knew it, they knew that the whole story was made up. And they went with it, even though this sets a terrible precedent. Because from now on, anytime the king wants to get rid of someone, all he's got to do is make up a story, right, and charge him, and boom, off with the head. The guy's dead. So this is a very serious matter over here. Even in the worst, darkest times, worst kingships, there was still some kind of rule of law, where you can't just, you know, get rid of someone for no reason, right, publicly.
They're doing it.
What?
They did it in Turkey last week.
Okay, I'm saying... To publicly accuse someone of something that he didn't do is a very bold move.
Yeah.
And it was only possible because the people of his city and the judges were willing to go along with it.
And then what happened to all these people afterwards?
I'm sure they were all punished. The Navi doesn't really talk about it, but... it's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, all right, you came through a whole story with this now. What is so important that this story happened that we have to learn about it? I mean, what do we get out of it? So they did a lot of bad things. What is this put? What does this teach us? What is this teaching us?
Well, I'm saying a few things. First of all, we see from here that when you see something that's evil that's taking place in front of you, you shouldn't just go along with it.
Just speak up.
You gotta speak up.
Sometimes it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. It can be very dangerous.
Sometimes it's dangerous. It's always dangerous.
Right. There was they once interviewed some of the righteous among the nations during the Holocaust, right? People who saved Jews and they hid them. And they asked them, how did you have the courage to go ahead and stand up against the entire world, essentially, right? The ruling power, the Nazi party, powerful army, they were conquering Europe, they were taking over the world. And you were able to, well, how did you have the courage to stand up to them? So you know what they said? They said it was very telling. They didn't have. It wasn't that they stood up to they stood up to evil. They had to fight it. Rather, they refused to go over the deep end with the rest of the world. I mean, the rest of the world went over to the deep end, and they just stayed where they were. That's all. So you have to have the courage to not go into what to not go with the flow. When you see that a bad thing is taking place, you got to stand up. And you got, but over here, no one did it. And that's why the execution of Novus was possible. That's one thing. There are many other lessons that we can learn. And we'll see as the story unfolds.
Okay.
So what does Izebel tell Ahav? She tells him, Ki ein Novus chai, ki meis. Novus is not alive anymore, rather he's dead. Well, obviously, if he's not alive, then he's dead. There isn't a third option. So what's she telling him? He's not alive, but he's dead.
Okay.
So the Malbim explains over here that... wait, I'm sorry. I made a mistake before. Before I said that when you curse the king, then you get hanged. I'm sorry. It's a different... You get something else. You get get saif, which is your person gets his head cut off with the head, right? So that's why you don't get hanged, rather you get saif. But stoning is worse, is more serious. That's for cursing Hashem, for cursing God, and that's why he got skila, stoning, and he didn't get saif. So what she's telling him over here is that really, because of the sin that he committed against you, the king Ahav, he's supposed to get saif. He's supposed to get cut off his head, chop off his head, right? And but skila accomplished the same thing, right? Dead is dead, right? It doesn't matter if you die by cutting off the head, or he dies by skila. So even though he ended up getting stoned for a different sin that he didn't commit against you, that he committed against God, right, against Hashem, right? So even though he got that, so he's not alive anymore. But that includes also the punishment that he sinned against you, which he would have gotten killed with cutting off the head. So that's what she's telling him over here.
What is he trying to prove with this?
Zevel?
Was he trying to make sure that now he can get the field? There's nothing in his way.
Yeah.
That's what she means, right?
Right. She's saying...
He needed both. She needed him to be dead, and also that he shouldn't have any Yerushim to take it away from you.
Right.
That's what she probably meant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Yudalet. Sorry. Pasuk Tesvav. Tesayin. Pasuk Tesayin. Ve'ikishma Achav kimes Navos. When Achav hears the Navos died, Vayakom Achav laredes lakerem Navos Yisraeli larishto. He goes into the vineyard of Navos in order to inherit it. And he's very happy. Everything is good and dandy. For him, it's a happy ending. But not for Navos. Let's see what happens to Achav. Don't laugh so fast, Achav. Let's see what happens next. Pasuk Yudzayin. Vayidvar Hashem el Eliyahu atish bilemor. Hashem turns to Eliyahu, and he tells him, what does he say? Pasuk Yudches. Kum reid likras Achav melech Yisrael shabashoyim reid. Go ahead and pay a visit to Achav, the king of Israel, who is dwelling where? Who's dwelling b'shoyim reid. Why is he telling him where he's living? So he's referring, he's alluding, Hashem is alluding to the fact that Achav took the vineyard away from Navos unjustified, because he has no claim over the vineyard, because the vineyard is in Israel, not in the capital, which is Shomrei, Samaria. Rather, it's in Israel, which is a different city. So he has no need for it for his own palace. Right? It's in Israel. It's in a different place. So why? So he's basically alluding to the fact that you, Achav, are living in Shomrei. You know, you don't need a vineyard in Israel. So basically, the taking of the vineyard of Navos is unjustified. That's what Hashem is alluding to over here. So he continues, Ina bekerem Navos asher yorad sham larishta. He's sitting in the vineyard of Navos that he inherited. So what is the message to Achav? Pasuk Yutas. V'dibar to elav lemor koi omar Hashem haratzachta v'gam yarashta. Not only if you murdered, but you also inherited the vineyard of Navos. So Eliyahu was sent to Achav to give him a warning, to warn him that because he killed Navos, what's going to end up happening, the same place, just a simple understanding of the pasuk is that the same place that Navos died, and his blood was shed, same place, the dogs will lick the blood of Achav. In exactly the same place. Basically, you're going to be killed for the murder of Navos. the unjustified murder.
No, it's what go back and now when the trial was going on, she instigated the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what did the king know what was going on? He was just
He knew what was going on. Sure. Yeah, he knew about it. Everybody was a part of it. The whole nation, all the people were a part of it. They did it publicly. The judges, the officials.
Well, I don't care about the judges. I mean, him himself.
He knew,
maybe
yes.
He was over here. He didn't care right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds like he knew. He knew.
She took it. And then why did, if he knew what was going on and all this thing happened, why did she have to tell him, go take it now? That's what he was waiting for. I mean, why did he's putting in a pusik now. She's saying, why does she have to go ahead and take it? If he was in on the whole thing from the beginning, so what is he? Why do we have to know that she told him this yet?
Well, he wasn't part of the planning. Huh? He was more of a bystander.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to say that he really didn't, as bad as it was,
mm-hmm.
he didn't think it was that bad, probably. He's a bystander.
Well, if you have the power to stop something and you don't do it, you're going to be charged as if you committed the same crime.
I agree with that. But the idea is, when after it happened, why does she have to tell him to do this? He's waiting for this. He could have done it himself.
Well, I'm thinking she's just giving him the message that the decree was carried out. Now, I don't know exactly why she has to tell him. He didn't know.
I could understand it if he was just a bystander. He really didn't know what happened, and he wasn't part of it.
He
was aware. He was fully aware.
He's not testifying. He didn't testify at the trial.
To get the
he wasn't
steal,
allowed to.
But not to have him killed.
He didn't see anything.
It could have been somebody,
witnesses
some a different
to
way
testify,
to get it.
Yeah.
Maybe? No?
He probably.
I don't know if he had a different plan. He didn't. It's not like he had a different plan. He was just upset. You know, I'm saying he himself wasn't willing to go in and do anything, right? He was just gonna, you know, go into his room and sulk, right? Oh, I'm so upset. I didn't get the field. I'm so upset. He's just gonna cry himself to sleep.
He didn't go.
Ezebel was the one who decided to take action.
Why is he gonna go to the trial? He's not a witness.
But I'm not saying he had to be there. I'm just saying maybe. He didn't know what the hell they were doing. She knew what she was doing, but maybe he didn't.
He was,
go that far and say he should be.
He wasn't
as guilty
feeling good.
As
he was upset. He was
That's
drunk.
What I'm saying. But now we now he,
yeah,
after
well,
it happened
after the trial,
he is guilty.
Kill
what
him
do,
and,
what do you think he could get away with this?
Hey, wake up from your stupor and
well. I'm saying it wasn't the first wrong thing that he had done.
I understand, but it seems that if she didn't do this, he wouldn't have done anything.
Right.
That's what it seems.
Right.
Well. Obviously, he's sitting around there really, and he's waiting.
What do you say?
Yeah. Yeah, but the fact that he didn't do anything to stop it, that was wrong. Right? Chazal say, anyone who doesn't rebuke the people of his household that they're doing something wrong, he will be held accountable for what they did. Even though I didn't do anything. What do you want? I didn't do anything. But if you have the power to stop it,
that's why you didn't do anything.
Right. You have the power to stop it, to say something, and you didn't.
Meanwhile, you've got a field. This man is dead because
right.
of the field. Now what you have, whatever, you didn't do anything.
No, he didn't actively do anything. He didn't go out and hire the witnesses.
I know.
Right?
I guess that's what I'm getting at. Right. But why? The thing is, why does she have to tell him? Okay, go and do it.
Right.
It's done.
Because,
Yeah, I hear.
So like he was sitting waiting for the story to end.
Right. He went out fishing that day. And he didn't even know what happened. He comes back and hey,
he
guess
got it
what
on the
happened?
He got it on the news.
I think he went actually bear hunting. I think it was bear hunting.
Oh, it could be.
It's either bear hunting or fishing, one of the two. Okay, so yeah, Eliyahu Navi. So now Eliyahu Navi delivers this devastating message to Ahab.
What the heck is this? More thunder and lightning.
Yeah, it's thunder and lightning. You can make a bracha.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Right.
That's what.
So the Ralbag points out of here that in fact Ahav was supposed to this punishment against Ahav was prolonged a little bit because he did turn back to Hashem. At some point, we're going to see. And because of that, it didn't take place right away. Rather, it was prolonged a little bit longer.
Well, actually, why did this happen to him? The one who was killed. The whole trial is a sham, right? It's all a lie.
Right.
I mean, he got killed, but there got to be a reason for he was Chayiv Misa from something else. Otherwise,
right. It
just wouldn't have happened. God wouldn't let that
right.
happen.
Right, right.
What actually did he do beforehand?
That's true. So, yeah, so next week we're going to get into the whole thing, why Navais,
okay.
Which is also what you asked before. Yeah, we're going to speak about that next week.
Okay.
Why that happened. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's more of the topic next week. I just want to finish the story itself, and then we're going to go over the overall commentary and see exactly why this happened. But I just want to get the details down.
You have to tell me, don't put the cart before the horse.
Right. Don't pull the cart before the horse.
You won't get anywhere.
Right.
Okay.
So let's continue. V'yamar Achav Eliyo, ha-mitza'asani oivi. So Achav turns to Eliyo, when Eliyo comes to deliver the message, and he says, oh, you found me. Yes, I did found you. So over here, Eliyahu is pointing out. First of all, what's this whole interaction? Oh, you found me? Yes, I did find you. So there are a few different explanations over here. The Radak says that you finally found a place where you could hold me accountable. All right, as if beforehand, he couldn't hold him accountable for worshipping the Baal. But he finally found a thing that he really had done wrong. That's one pshat. Another pshat that the Malbim brings down is that, meaning that's more what you were talking about, right? Achav might say, well, what do you want from me? Why did you find me? Don't come to me. Zelot did everything, right? I was just a bystander. I didn't do anything. So Eliyahu is pointing out to him, and he says, no, Yan is makar chalas esra b'ini Hashem. Because you followed Yizevel every step of the way, right? It's not the first time that she's taking charge, right? This has been going on for years already. The fact that she's telling you what to do, she's telling you to worship idols, and you're following her without saying a word, without stopping her. Therefore, you're now held accountable for everything she had done. Because you're following her blindly to go against the word of Hashem. Therefore, everything she does is going to be considered as if you had done it yourself. That's what Eliyahu was telling us. So now he's delivering the message that Hashem gave him. Pasuk Chaval, if your name may be Elecha Ro, be Arti Achorecha. Right, I'm bringing bad things about on you. I'm going to kill your whole household. You're going to have no descendants left. Everyone is going to be killed. The Radak, I forgot to mention, the Radak also points out that when it says Lasas Harab Beinei Hashem, to go against the word of Hashem, it's actually referring to one of the things that Achav did over here, which was he would take the Sefer Torah, every Sefer Torah that he had, he would take it and he would erase the name of Hashem and write exactly, and write the Baal instead. So instead of saying Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, it would say Vayomer HaBaal El Moshe. That's what he would do. He would erase the name of Hashem and put the name of the Baal. That's how engrossed he was in worshipping idols.
Yikes.
Yeah, very serious.
Yeah, that's blasphemy right there. That's Hilul Hashem, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the things you said before, that Zevul didn't even believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned that one.
Right.
She didn't believe in that ball of baloney.
Right.
She was telling him to do it for some reason or other, and she had it all made up for some reason. So, and he just followed her blindly.
Yeah. So now he's held accountable. Yeah. Pasuk Chav Beis, V'nasatis Beitcha Keveis Yerovam Ben Avot, Keveis Basha Ben Achia, Elakas Asherich Asa V'tachti Es Yisrael. I'm going to make your household like the household of Yerovam, Yerovam Ben Avot, and Basha Ben Achia, who also worship idols, and they have no one left, so too, you're also going to have nobody left. V'gam Le'Zevel Dibra Hashem Le'mar, Hashem is now sending a message to Zevel as well. The dogs will eat Izevel in this place called Chel Yisrael.
Dogs will eat you on the street.
Yeah. Right. And this took place later on in the days of Yehu. We're going to see.
Did you get to that part yet?
Not yet.
Get seaten?
Not yet. We'll get there. So, yeah. Every family member who died to Achav in the city will be eaten by the dogs, and anyone who died in the field will be eaten by the birds. The Malbim points out that Achav, in a way, is worse than any other king who went against Hashem. Because everyone else, they did it on their own, from their own volition, like you said. Right? But Achav gave himself over completely to Izevel. Right? So, therefore, there was no one amongst the evil kings that got close to Achav, because Achav just gave everything to Izevel, and he allowed her to do whatever she wanted. So now he was, Vayasev means he caused an abomination. To which is what you mentioned before, right? Desecrating Hashem, Chil Hashem, because the Achav didn't even have the reason that the previous kings had. The previous kings, the reason why they set up these idols was because they didn't want the Jewish people to go to Yerushalayim during Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Because then they would be loyal to the other king.
You don't have to go there.
Right?
You don't have to go here.
We got an idol right over here. We got an egel azav. We got a golden calf. No need to go to Yerushalayim. Right? So they had a reason. It was the wrong reason, yes. But at least they had some kind of reason. But Achav had no reason whatsoever to worship idols. That's why he's held accountable even more. So, okay, we'll stop here right now. And then this is pretty much the end of the story. And next week we'll go over and we'll see a bit of an overview of why this happened, why it happened this way.
Bring out one thing about Izevel. He says.